The dream Onion AV Club interview is an interview where the only question that the interviewer gets out is go. The one-word interview is the ideal.
Well, okay, that's not the way most journalists do interviews, but then The Onion isn't your normal newspaper. And that's what makes editor Stephen Thompson's job fun. The Onion's best known for satire, but it does have its share of celebrity interviews. Not exactly the A-list movie stars you see on Entertainment Tonight. Thompson prefers former game show hosts, eccentric artists, and an assortment of other minor celebrities. He's collected a bunch of these interviews in a book called The Onion AV Club, The Tenacity of a Cockroach. You'll find conversations with the likes of Mr. T, The Unknown Comic, and Harlan Ellison.
Harlan Ellison is a brilliant author. I think he's written about 75 books. He's often known for science fiction and fantasy, but he certainly writes more than that. He's also known as sort of a professional curmudgeon, somebody that you can sort of turn loose to comment on the ills of society, and he does so with great vigor and passion.
So is that what happened when you interviewed Harlan Ellison?
Yes, that is exactly what happened when we interviewed Harlan Ellison. I mean, there's a quote in the book, "The world is turning into a cesspool of imbeciles," and he goes on at great length about how stupid everyone is.
Well, he seems to do that even with the interviewer. His first response is to insult the onion.
Yeah, God bless him. Basically, just about any conversation you have is going to begin with, "So, how's it going?" Most of us will do that, sometimes out of nervousness and just sometimes to try to kind of get a conversation going. And the standard answer to "So, how's it going?" is, "Fine, sure, how are you?" Harlan Ellison's answer to that question was, "This is by you an interview question, right?" I'm basically, in effect, "I'm not going to live forever. Ask me a question." And I don't do a very good Harlan voice, and if I did, it would blow out your microphone.
You do have some who have been interviewed as celebrities in the past. There's an interview, for instance, with Mr. T in here. What was that like?
That was actually one of the first interviews that I did. It dates back to 93, and it was a case where he was promoting a comic book. And so, you know, it was our big chance to grab the brass ring and talk to a star on the caliber of Mr. T. And that was one where I really could have just said, "Okay, let's get the interview started. Go." And he would just immediately go off. At one point, he was just shouting, and he called me Brother Steve throughout the whole interview. And he's, "I tell you, Brother Steve, reading leads to knowledge. Knowledge leads to understanding. So read on, young man. Read on, young lady." He was just on a tear, just pinning my ears back. And it was great fun to be on the other end of the phone.
He comes across as exactly the same kind of person that we've all seen on television.
Yeah.
And the Onion AV Club didn't feel as though it was being used by a celebrity on tour in that case.
I think that there's definitely a sort of mutual exploitation because we need them as much as they need us. And a lot of times, you know, we've certainly stared at a 4,000-word hole in the newspaper and tried to see the
transcripts of interviews are a good way to fill 4,000-word holes, aren't they?
Exactly.
Some of this seems to be designed on purpose to get responses that will be stuff you can't see anywhere else. Now, of course, every magazine, I suppose, wants that, but some of yours really go almost beyond the edge. There's an interview with, is it Russ Meyer?
Russ Meyer, yes. Yeah. He was a case. I mean, Russ Meyer is sort of, for lack of a better word, is sort of an exploitation filmmaker. He did Faster Pussycat Kill Kill, specializes in movies featuring women with enormous breasts.
And he spoke quite
eloquently,
extensively,
and
about
thoughtfully
that.
About his love.
Thoughtfully?
Well, I think he put a lot of thought into his thoughts on, I think he's thought a lot about breasts. And that, you know, that was a case where the interviewer, Nathan Rabin, contacted him somewhat out of the blue, contacted his studio and happened to just get Russ Meyer on the phone right away. And Meyer was sort of confused by the call and thought that Nathan was trying to sell him subscriptions. And once, "Oh, you're with a newspaper? I don't need a newspaper." And Nathan finally explained to him that this was an interview for a newspaper. And our best guess is that Russ Meyer was trying to shock Nathan into hanging up the phone.
You also had included among the obscure celebrities, the unknown comic?
Yes.
I confess, the unknown comic is unknown to me.
Certainly. You may not have been watching the Gong Show extensively during its run. That's too bad, man. You missed out.
Yeah.
The unknown comic was a stand-up comedian who, in the 70s, performed with a bag over his head. And he just told lame jokes about Chuck Barris, his wife, and it just cracked wise on the show to make a few, you know, to make a few extra bucks. And because the show was so popular, he turned into a phenomenon in the 70s. And he's still around. I mean, the actor is obviously, the comedian is still around. And
Not performing anymore with a bag over his head?
I think you can get him, I think if the price is right, you can get him to perform with a bag over his head. I gather that his act now consists of about half and half, where he'll take the bag off after a while. But he's a very colorful fellow named Murray Langston, who just had amazing stories to tell, I think in part because not that many people are calling up Murray Langston asking him to do 5,000-word interviews. So
he wanted to get all the stories out once.
Yeah, he got all those stories off his chest, and it was wonderful. I mean, there's a story that's in the book where he's talking about how he told a joke about Frank Sinatra on a TV show, and Sinatra got his number, called him up, and threatened to break his legs.
Break his legs?
Yeah, and it's another story that I can't fully tell over the radio. Sinatra was another one to use colorful language. But he's just spewing fascinating stories, and you wouldn't necessarily think that that's what you would get from the unknown comic.
Now, you did several of these interviews yourself.
Yes.
Do you have memorable moments, some that you remember as being better than others?
My favorite interviews, and maybe it's just laziness on my part, but my favorite interviews are the ones where you can just turn them loose. The one where they'll just pin your ears back and go.
Laziness because all the work that you do is figuring out who to interview?
Yes. Laziness because all I have to do is get them on the phone and say go. There's an interview in the book with a rocker named Andrew W.K., who's a 23-year-old and who's just full-bore party, party, party is basically his message. Party, rock, repeat is pretty much how you can sum up his ethos. And there's that interview, there's one question that prompts, I don't even remember what the question is, and it prompts a 3,000-word answer in the book. I like people who are so conversationally adept that they can just, you can turn them loose and they can almost forget you're there.
Stephen Thompson's the editor of The Onion AV Club, The Tenacity of a Cockroach.